This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, welcome into the Captain J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. David Kaplan's off. I'm Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for being with us here on this Monday morning. With open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. Thanks for watching the show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. Good morning, Shay. Good morning, Jay Moore. And we're glad that you're with us here on the Kaplan J Hood Morning Show. You know, you and I, as fans, at times can be overzealous. It's one thing to go to a game to enjoy it with friends and family. But sometimes we get into it, and rightfully so. We're there to be able to help our team win. Because we think that if we yell and we scream and we boo, that we can be able to help our team win. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a fan that's just like you are. And it's nothing like being able to get into it. Because we're there and have an emotional or financial investment in the teams that we root for. And I just think that sometimes we can be a little bit overzealous. And it happens, right? Especially if you're fully croisened, especially if you're an overtop fan, especially when you think, oh man, you know what? If I just do something to help my team win, I feel like I'm a part of it. Ultimately, it's up to the professionals to be able to determine a win or a loss. Yeah, we're there. We're fans because we enjoy sports. But sometimes you just can't go over the top. I was watching the Western semifinals in the NBA last night. Denver taking on Phoenix. And so the score is Denver 55, Phoenix 54. There's 2:36 left in the second quarter. And in this game, as I watch it here, and we have the clip for you if you care to watch it at ESPN 1000 on Twitter, I'm watching the replay of what happened last night. If you haven't heard about this, let me tell you. So 55-54 Denver with the lead, and there's the Suns. There's a player from the Suns that's trying to keep the ball inbounds. It goes out of bounds, and it goes into the front row. The player and the basketball goes into the front row. So the basketball happens to land in the same seat of Isaiah Thomas and Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns. Now, it's not uncommon for owners to not be in their luxury box. Sometimes they're right there in the front row. Sometimes, because they're the owner of the team, they can sit wherever they want to. Matt Ishbia is a relatively new owner in the NBA, Michigan State guy. He's there in a green jacket. I mean, out of all the purple and the orange and the different colors there, you know Ishbia when you see him because he's got the Michigan State green jacket on. And there he is in the front row. The ball goes out of bounds. And then Ishbia, he grabs the basketball. Nikola Jokic, and you can't miss him because he's all of 6'11", 7 foot, is also out of bounds. And he's trying to grab the basketball away from the owner. Jokic goes into the crowd, grabs the basketball from Ishbia. And somehow the ball pops up into the air and it goes to another fan. Jokic takes his forearm and forearms the fan right into the chest, the fan being Ishbia. Ishbia flops back down into the chair. And now there's a melee trying to get the basketball. The fan throws it to Josh Okogie, one of the Suns players, and that's the end of the story. But the point is, though, is that the owner of the Suns is a fan. And we talk about being overzealous, right? As that ball goes out of bounds, Ishbia happens to get the basketball, holds on to it, and Jokic rushes over, tries to get the ball out of the fan's hands. And what happens? Jokic gives a forearm to the fan. And, of course, Ishbia, a former Michigan State walk-on under Tom Izzo, flops back into his seat and says, hey. So I'll ask you, what's wrong with that whole picture I just laid out for you? What's wrong with that? Well, a couple things. First of all, the owner of the Suns grabs the basketball and tries to hold the basketball as if he's a player. And Jokic is trying to get the ball back because maybe I think he's going to inbound the next play. I don't know what's happening. All I know is that the owner's grabbing the basketball as if he's a player. Jokic tries to get the ball out of his hands. The ball pops into the air. Another fan grabs it. And Jokic kind of forearms the owner right to his seat. Now, there's controversy with this because there's questions on whether or not Jokic will be able to play the next game. As we well know in basketball and other sports, players just cannot go into the stands or go into the crowd after fans. You can't be putting your hands on a player, and players cannot be putting their hands on fans. You do remember Malice in the Palace, don't you? I do recall this in Auburn Hills, Michigan, where there was just a complete melee, a complete crazy situation between players and fans fighting one another. This can't happen. So there is a possibility that Nikola Jokic could be suspended for the next game just because he put his forearm into the chest of one of the fans, and the fan happened to be Matt Ishbia. Now, here's the thing about this story. After everything was settled, there was a technical foul for unsportsmanlike conduct on Jokic. And then that was it. Just a unsportsmanlike technical foul on Jokic. There was a fan that was kicked out of the game. But it was not the owner of the Suns. Oh, no. It wasn't him. It was another fan that had grabbed at the forearm of Jokic that was sitting in the third row. And he got kicked out of the game, but not the owner. Now, there's a disconnect there. Any fan should not be trying to put his hands on a player. And also, a player should not be trying to put a forearm smash into the chest of it of a fan. Now, here's the difference. Ishbia is the owner. He was not kicked out of the game. Now, so there's the problem there. There's the problem. Shouldn't the Suns owner be treated like any other fan? He's sitting there in the front row. He's grabbing at the basketball. Well, wait a minute now. If that's me, if that's you, you know what happens. You and I are kicked out of the ball game. But there's a special treatment for the owner of the Suns, and that's not right. What's the fan etiquette in that situation? The fan etiquette is that Ishbia should not be trying to involve himself in the fray. How about this? One of the few times where Isaiah Thomas is innocent. It's one of the few times where Isaiah is sitting right there and he had nothing to do with it. Usually, he's one of the reasons why that there's a fracas. He's one of the reasons why that there's an issue. Not this time. Isaiah was kind of like sheepishly kind of looking for someplace quiet. Like, oh, it's not me. Knowing that he's kind of working with the Suns in that front office. But what's the rule there? As I mentioned, we can be overzealous as fans. But the owner tries to go after Jokic? Here's the thoughts here from Jokic after the game, the incident, where Jokic didn't even know who that fan was. Just a guy in a green jacket. Happens to be Matt Ishbia.
He told me I was elbowing the fan. So, but the fan put a hand on me first, so I thought the league's supposed to protect us or whatever, so, but maybe I'm wrong, so we will see.
Did you happen to know who the fan was?
He's a fan of, he's an, I know who he is, but he's a fan, isn't he? He's a setting, senior.
Phoenix Suns owner.
Sitting on the court, and he's a fan, isn't he?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he's a, so whoever it is, and he's a fan, he cannot influence the game by holding the ball.
You know what? Jokic is right. He's right. There's no reason why Ishbia was holding on to the basketball as if he was trying to get Jokic in some kind of trouble. Because you don't think that Ishbia knows that if I hold on to the basketball and Jokic is aggressive coming after me, that he'd be kicked out? But that's not what happened. After the officials talked about it, it was just a technical foul. So actually, the referees probably got it wrong, too, when you think about it, right? When you think about the letter of the law, that when you take a look at the rules that's out there on NBA.com, no fan should be able to go into the stands. Now, this is just the first row. It's not necessarily him going, you know, 5 or 10 rows up. Point, though, is that Ishbia had no right to hold on to that basketball. And also, Jokic shouldn't have gone into the stands to try to get the basketball. Let the officials do that. That's what referees are for. If the ball goes in the stands, do players go in and get the basketball themselves? No. No, the referees do that. So Michael Malone is the head coach for the Denver Nuggets. He talked about this last night as well.
I'm still not really sure what happened. I haven't seen a video of it. I think it's crazy that Nicola got a technical foul in that situation. He's going to get the ball, and some fan is holding on to the ball like he wants to be a part of the game. Just give the ball up, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, they deemed Nicola doing something that was excessive, I guess, and they gave him the tech, but I still don't really understand it. I don't give a shit. I mean, I really don't care.
Yeah, so why is it different? Why is it different for the owner? Because he's the owner of the Suns. It just shows you, man, that like money and power and prestige, you could be able to still sit there just because you're the owner of the Suns. He shouldn't have been out there doing that. And for Jokic, here's my whole bottom line on this. And I know this is going to be up for debate in the offices in New York for Adam Silver. Should Jokic be suspended because he forearmed a fan into the chest, that fan being the owner of the Suns? To me, I think the punishment is just. He got a technical foul from Tony Brothers. And Shay, I don't know if you have that from Tony Brothers. I know a pool reporter asked Tony Brothers, the official, the lead official of that, what happened. I think it's pretty clear that the punishment fit the crime. Jokic should not be touching a fan or an owner in this situation. Fine. And then from there, Ishbia should be fined as well. That's the other thing I want to see. He should be fined for being able to stick his beak in there. So I think that should be I don't want Jokic to be suspended for this nonsense. That's my whole bottom line on this. So let's ask this question. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. And again, we put this video out on Twitter, at ESPN1000, on social media for you to check this out. Should the Suns owner be treated like any other fan? I mean, who is wrong here? If you saw that game, if you saw the video that we just put out there, when you slow it down and take a look at it, don't you think that Jokic just wanted to have the basketball back? He forearmed the owner. Okay, fine. So he got a technical foul. I think we should move on from there. But I think the owner should also be fined. Now, here's one thing that's not going to happen. He's not going to be in a position where he's going to be ejected and won't be able to be part of the series anymore because he's one of the owners of an NBA team. I think that when I slow it down, Ishbia holding onto the basketball too long was nonsense to me. But I don't want Jokic to be suspended because of this. I think Charles Barkley hit it right on the head when he talks about this. We'll hear from Charles and get your thoughts on this. The Suns owner should be treated like any other fan. Like he should at least be fined for what he did. No reason for him to be part of that. All right, still to come, some thoughts about the Bears as well. Some things that you might have missed over the weekend from Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, as well as four or five things that we got to look at with this Bears team moving forward. We'll get to it as we move forward here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and J-Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
The Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jonathan Hood with you here on Cap and J-Hood. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Still to come at 735, some thoughts about the Bears. And I got some nuggets for you about the Bears that you want to stick around and hear. And some thoughts from Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator. This is a big time for Luke Getsy. We'll explain that at 735 right here on ESPN 1000. Should the Suns owner be treated like any other fan? And who is wrong here? What we're talking about is the Denver Nuggets and Phoenix Suns game from yesterday. You know, I've after watching the Cubs and White Sox and Formula One and everything else that was on over the weekend, you know, the Denver-Phoenix game was just on in the background. And I'm just kind of just following along what's going on in the game, not watching every single play, but it's just on in the background. All of a sudden, this melee happens, this whole thing with Denver and Phoenix where the ball in this game, and late in the second quarter, goes out of bounds, and it ends up in the hands of the owner of the Suns, Matt Ishbia. He holds on to the basketball, and Jokic just rushes in, tries to grab the ball away from Ishbia. Ishbia holds on to the basketball, pops in the air. Jokic gives a forearm to Ishbia right to the chest, and Ishbia does a flop down into his chair. And for whatever reason, there was this sense of urgency for Jokic. He had some kind of edge in this game. And I think he always does, but it's a little bit more apparent for whatever reason in this game than others. I saw him being really dramatic on the sidelines as well, going after the coaches and the players. So he really wanted this game. But not to the point where he's forearming the owner in the chest, and that's exactly what happened. And so there was a technical foul that was assessed to Jokic for forearming Ishbia. But here's the thing, Shay, that gets to me. Like, if Ishbia is me, you, or Jay Moore, we're kicked out of the ball game. But because he's the owner, he gets the chance to stay. On the other side, Jokic wanted that basketball so badly. And I'm thinking, well, isn't that up to the official? Can he go get the basketball away from the fans? Is that how it usually happens? I just thought that was just, that whole thing was just bizarre to me last night.
Well, I think what I've been hearing at least was, and I full disclosure, I didn't see this live, so I've been watching, catching up a little bit on the replays, but it seemed like Jokic was trying to get the ball back to the officials so they could get the inbound as quick as possible and kind of keep up momentum. I've never really seen a fan run or a player run into the stands and try to get a ball back from a fan. That's kind of rare to me. So I see why people are on the side of, like, Jokic was the one who was egging this on. But again, look, you're right. If that's me sitting there, I'm gone. I'm out of the arena. Yeah. If I put my hand on Jokic's back, I'm done. That's it.
You're also, be just like Ishbia, wearing that members-only Michigan State jacket.
Not
like he was
in a
wearing.
Million years would I be wearing that.
I mean, that's what he's wearing. Like, you could tell him from everyone else in the crowd, by the way. Everyone else has got Suns gear or Denver gear. There he is in his Michigan State green. Like, he stands out. And I'm not knocking him. He's representing the school, but I just think it's funny. Like, you know Ishbia when you see him. There he is, Michigan State green jacket.
Yeah,
there
listen, he is. You bought the team. Wear a Suns hat or something. You don't need to be repping Michigan State there. You know, if he could have flopped that well in college, he might have got a scholar.
Now, that's a shot there. There's a shot on the for the walk-on. There you go. It's a national champ you're talking about, by the way. And so is the trainer. But nonetheless, so Tony Brothers, my brothers, was the lead official there. And in a minute, we're going to be able to read exactly what Tony Brothers had to say. But we put the video at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. And take a look at it for yourself. Like, the question is, who's wrong here? To me, Ishbia should be fined. And if it's any other fan, he's not allowed back in the building. But because he's the owner, I don't know if he should be sitting there. Clearly, he's trying to be a stick in the beehive there. So is the owner at fault or Jokic at fault for what happened there? This should not happen. And again, I will ask, why was there such a rush for Jokic to get the ball so quickly? It's 2:36 left in the second quarter. Denver up 55-54. But it's just like Jokic was playing with a ruthless aggression for whatever reason. And he got edgy because the fan got a ball. He reached in to try to grab the ball away from Ishbia. But again, Jokic says he didn't know who he was. He just thought he was a fan. And actually, he is. He is a fan. But see the difference between you and I and an owner? It's crazy. Charles Barkley on what happened on Inside the NBA last night.
I hope the NBA don't do something stupid.
I'm with you on
that. Yeah, I hope they don't do something stupid. And, like, it's just, it was unfortunate. It happened. It's over with. I just hope they don't do anything stupid.
And don't either of you guys do it again, okay?
Yes.
Matt Ishbia, don't hold on to the ball. Joker, don't make him flop. So there you go.
That was nice.
Yeah, it's fair. I think that how Ernie Johnson put it out there is fair. But I want something to happen to the owner. I think Ishbia should be a heavy fine on him trying to hold on to the basketball. You're not playing. So, but for Jokic, the series is solid because now it's tied at two. It's a good series, especially with Chris Paul out of it. It's interesting to see if Kevin Durant could be able to carry the Suns team, all that. But all those storylines aside, I'm looking at this here with Jokic, one of the great players in the league, top three, top five players in the league, and he is on the precipice of getting suspended, possibly, just because he got into the stands with the fan. I know that's to the letter of the law, but I think the technical was good enough for Jokic. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. All right, let's go to the phone lines to talk to you again. If you've missed it while you're sitting in traffic, at ESPN 1000 on Twitter, you could be able to see that video. It is live right now. Richland Park, here's John to lead us off here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, John.
Hey, great show, but I 1,000,000% disagree with you on this one. I think when I look at the clip and I saw it real time too, Jokic was the aggressor. And I think the part that everybody misses is that it wasn't just a basketball that went into the stands. Jay Crowder also went into the stands. So you have, and we'll just call him the fan, the ball comes into his lap, but his buddy next to him, Jay Crowder, lands into his lap. He's not even looking at Jokic. He's got one hand on the ball, and the other hand, he's looking at Jay Crowder trying to help him up. My assumption is he's going to help him up and hand him the basketball. Jokic comes barreling in. He never even speaks to him and just starts yanking. He doesn't know. He's not even looking at Jokic. He's not trying to, like, people make it seem like the ball bounced in. He bear hugs it, and, like, he's staring at Jokic like, I'm not going to give you the ball. He never sees Jokic because Jay Crowder is in their lap.
Or Okogie. So Josh Okogie was in the
oh, I'm sorry.
That's
yeah.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then they're going, and then the ball flies out. And, yes, he briefly touched Jokic, but if you look at it, it's just as he's trying to stand up. Like, what? You can look at the look on his face like, what in the world is going on?
Well, let me ask you this, John.
Forearm and he flopped.
Well, let me ask you this. So do you believe that the owner of the Suns had the same rights as you and I as fans?
That's it. The exact same rights, yes. But I don't think, like, I heard you guys say if that was me or you, we would have been ejected. I don't think so. Because, once again, it's not like he wasn't wrestling, like, fighting with Jokic. His eyes were on. He's a home team fan. He's got a home team player in his lap. He's looking at him. He doesn't know. Like, it's not like Jokic was like, hey, ball. Or like the ref tried to get the ball. He's not trying to, like, insert himself. He's like, oh, cool. You know, I mean, if we're going to treat him like a fan, quote unquote, you know, regular fan. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've got one of my players from my team is here in my lap.
I guess one of the reasons, the question I would have is, why was it so urgent for Jokic to try to get the basketball? Don't you wait for the official to be able to get the ball? I mean, it's not like it's, you know, 0.5 seconds left on the clock. I need it right away. Like, there was something that was edgy about Jokic where the ball's in the stands, yes. But, again, did Jokic need it right then and there? Did he need it right then and there? That's the question. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. And the Western Suburbs, here's Drew on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
Hey,
so, did you watch last night, or did you see the clip?
I did watch it. I saw the clip this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I play soccer. I played it my whole life. I coach. I have basketball as well. And I'll tell you, for guys that are from Europe, especially when they're throwing in soccer, you get that ball, you restart. I yell at my players all the time, quick restart, quick restart. So he's probably wired that as soon as that ball goes out, quick restart. So I didn't take it that he was going after it and it was malicious. I'm just saying that's probably how he's wired, quick restart.
Are you also wired to take a forearm to the owner's chest?
Well, yeah, that I agree a little bit is probably a bit much. But you know what? You're sitting in the front of the action, man. You know, sometimes that's going to happen. If you don't want to get involved and have that happen, then don't sit in those seats.
I mean, he's the owner. He can sit wherever he wants to sit.
I'm with you, man. He can pay the bill for the team. He can pay the bill to sit up front. I agree, but you know, you're in the middle of the action, so that can happen.
Well, let me ask you this again. As I asked our previous listener, do you believe that Ishbia, the owner of the Suns, has the same rights as you and I as fans? Like, to me, like, Ishbia holding on to the basketball was wrong. I don't know why he thought he can hold on. He wasn't playing. That was odd. But the other thing is, too, is, like, he gets forearm to the chest. What's the repercussions for Jokic in that spot?
I agree, man. I mean, he's sitting there. And you know what? It wasn't right that he forearmed him, but you know what? He's also not – he's the owner, but he's not part of the play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he should get his hands off the ball and keep the play rolling. So I agree. But one of us was sitting there, we'd be tossed out.
All right, Drew. We appreciate the phone call. We go to Kevin in Oak Brook on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning, Hoodie. Great show.
Thanks,
great
buddy.
Topic.
What do you think? Yeah, did you watch it yesterday, or did you watch the clip?
I happened to catch it, and then I watched the clip this morning because then I saw the, you know, did he hit him on purpose and all this stuff? Did he touch him first? So I think you only have a couple sentences ago. You got to look at intent. I think with Jokic, you're right. It's a fan. He should make any contact. I thought it was a little more incidental than some people thought, but he's just out there trying to get the ball and make a play. Who knows why he rushed it so much? The owner knows. The owner knows his place. He knows he should not get involved. He purposely, deliberately sort of acted to be part of the game. And so I do think there's a higher bar when the commissioner looks at it and says, okay, this is interacting with any fan.
Just call him
but
Joker.
The owner needs to be punished.
Call him Joker, Kev. It's easier. Joker.
The Joker. Thank you. Well, you're the media guy. I appreciate it.
I'm just a fan. I just call him Joker. It's sometimes just easier.
Joker.
But go ahead.
But yeah, I think the commissioner needs to look at the owner and go, you stepped over the line as an owner, not as a fan, you know, to make that distinction in that you're sitting there and you made yourself a part of the action. And he knew that that's what he was doing, where the Joker, he was just trying to get the ball, and you're right, he probably got a little aggressive.
So if you're Adam Silver, how do you handle this? Like, there was a technical on Jokic. Is there a fine? Yeah. What do you do? I say fine the owner and then let Jokic play the next game.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, you can't incent an owner to affect, you know, a game, right? I think you put him up in his skybox, up in his, you know, luxury castle up there for the rest of the playoffs with a fine. And then you're right. I think the technical was enough. I think that'll send a message to other owners like who like to sit in the front row, and hopefully other fans too. It's like, you know, you still got to behave.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. All right, Kev, I'm glad you checked in. Just call him Joker. It's easier. We appreciate the telephone call. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. Ultimately, guys, this is kind of like a fan's rights question. What, you know, the right to the fan, you know, was Ishbia in the wrong for trying to grab that basketball and get forearm to the chest by Jokic? Is Jokic wrong for forearming him in the chest and should have be a suspension? I don't want Jokic to miss a game, but it's on the table, I think, for as far as the NBA is concerned. I just want all the players to be available for my entertainment. Could Jokic be suspended for this? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Still to come in our next half hour, some thoughts about the Bears, and we'll hear from Luke Getsy. All part of the mix on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headline with Cap and J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox win their second consecutive series yesterday with a 17-4 win against the Reds. Second series win of the season for the White Sox. The first road series win. Sox will take on Kansas City tonight. It's a 6 o'clock pregame right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs lost the series finale in 14 innings to the Miami Marlins by the score of 5-4. They took 2 out of 3 in the series. It's Wilson Contreras and the St. Louis Cardinals tonight at Wrigley Field. First pitch over at Friendly Confines at 6:40. Will the Blackhawks get Connor Bedard? The NHL lottery will answer that question tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN. NBA playoffs, the Suns beat the Nuggets. That series is tied at 2. Sixers beat the Celtics in overtime. That series is tied at 2 as well. Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
The Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, that same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find the Chicago Bears podcast with Pat the Designer and so many more. You need more Bears? Check out the Chicago Bears podcast. It's available now on the ESPN Chicago app. Good morning to you as well on YouTube, youtube.com. Have you subscribed to the ESPN 1000 Chicago YouTube feed? Hey, you can watch all the shows as well as some of the interviews you might have missed on YouTube. Check out ESPN 1000 Chicago on YouTube. It's Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Cap is off today here on this Monday morning. So glad that you're with us. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So much to get to. And we'll try to get it all in before we crosstalk with Black and Abdallah coming up at 10 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. We've been talking about this crazy story that took place. Because normally, would I start off the show talking about Denver versus Phoenix? I could, but I normally would not. But there was something that happened in the game that's just so odd. Denver leading the game 55-54, 2:37 left in the second quarter. In that game, the ball, basketball goes out of bounds. A Suns player in Nkogi falls out of bounds. The ball goes into the front row at the Suns-Denver game. The ball is picked up by a fan. Not just a fan. Matt Ishbia, the owner for the Phoenix Suns. He grabs the basketball. Nikola Jokic from Denver goes in to grab the basketball out of the hands of Ishbia. And you can see this video right now at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. Jokic goes in, tries to grab the ball out of Ishbia's hands. The ball pops in the air, goes to another fan, And then as Jokic continues to go after the basketball, Jokic sends a forearm smash right to the chest of Ishbia. Ishbia falls back into his chair as he flopped into his chair. There was a technical foul called on Jokic because of that. Jokic is just trying to get the basketball. And what I would say is usually the official takes care of that, but not in this situation. Jokic just wanted the ball like a hobo needed a ham sandwich. He just needed that basketball badly, to the point where he knocked down the owner of the Suns. Nothing happened to the Suns owner. There was a fan that was ejected because that fan put his hands on Jokic. And so now the question is, will Jokic be suspended for the next game because he went into the stands? As you well know, as a sports fan like I am, players are not allowed to go into the stands to go after players. Players are not going in the stands going after fans. You can't do that. Players cannot go into the stands going after players. And so that's the whole thing with that, Shay. So Tony Brothers, let's go to that, because he was the lead referee here. A player going to the stands, going after a basketball, is there a rule there from Tony Brothers that he mentioned?
Well, he was asked, why did Jokic receive an unsportsmanlike technical foul for the fan exchange late in the first half? And Brothers answered, the ball went over into the corner there. One of the fans was holding the ball. Jokic came to get the ball, grabbed it away from the fan. Then after, he deliberately gave him a shove and pushed him down. So he was issued an unsportsmanlike technical foul. They went on about if he actually pushed him down, and then it ended up with what led him to getting the unsportsmanlike instead of being ejected. Brothers said, I just deemed the technical foul was the appropriate penalty for what happened over there. He didn't just run over and hit a fan. There was some engagement, so I deemed technical foul the appropriate penalty.
Okay, but I think, again, a fan, whoever it is, should be ejected in that situation. Now, it's Ishbia, and he's the owner, so he gets a chance to stay, which shows the difference between you and I as fans versus an owner of a team that's got his beak in there grabbing the basketball as if he's still playing. You're not a basketball player. Give the ball up. Jokic wants the ball. I'm sure the officials want the ball. What are you doing with it? Why are you grabbing onto it? It's just odd to me. And so I think that there should be a heavy fine on the owner. They're not going to kick him out like they should. So he's going to hold on to the basketball. He should be fine. And Jokic got a technical, and that should be the end of it. Jokic not happy afterwards. Didn't even know who the guy was.
He told me I was elbowing the fan. So, but the fan put the hand on me first. So I thought the league's supposed to protect us or whatever. So, but maybe I'm wrong. So we will see.
Did you happen to know who the fan was?
He's a fan of. He's an on the. I know who he is, but he's a fan, isn't he? He's a sitting senior.
Phoenix Suns owner.
Sitting on the court, and he's a fan, isn't he?
Yep.
That doesn't mean that he's a... So whoever it is, and he's a fan, he cannot influence the game by holding the ball.
Matt in Oak Lawn on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J-Hood. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, Hoodie?
Drama! That's how I'm doing, Matt. Drama! Crazy, right?
I watched the video a few times this morning before I left for work.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, Joker went after the ball. Ishbia's holding it like he's trying to get, you know, a foul called on Jokic. And then when the ball goes back in the stands, Ishbia goes at Jokic like to do something, and Jokic kind of looks down at him like, get away from me, and he throws a little elbow. And that's when he flops back into the chair. So, I mean, Ishbia actually made a move towards Jokic.
A slight move, yes. Yes, wow. And I'm looking at it right now as you talk about it. Yeah, so a slight move, yes. It's not like Ishbia's going to do anything against a seven-footer. Nothing.
No. I mean, he was looking down at him like, what are you doing? And, you know, Joker just threw that little shovel elbow.
Okay, so Ishbia, what do you think the league should do with Ishbia then? He's the owner, but he's a fan like you and I. Like, in that situation, you know we're kicked out. So what should the league do?
Yeah, he should definitely get a fine. If that was Mark Cuban, he'd be getting a major fine.
That is true. That would be $500,000.
Yeah, exactly.
on Mark Cuban, that'd be $500,000. There's no question about that. Good call. We appreciate your telephone call. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Russ in Palos Heights on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J-Hood. What's up, Russ?
Hey, thanks, Hoodie, for having me.
Yes, sir.
I think Ishbia would not have acted that way if it would have been one of his own players. He would not have responded in that way. As far as the fine is concerned, I think there should be just a minimal fine, like $1,000, so that no other fan in the audience tries to demonstrate like that. Then they could be identified as next time they pull that off, they get kicked out of the stadium.
$1,000 sounds like you could pay for it.
Huh?
$1,000, that seems easy enough. You're in Palos, you could pay his fine, can't you?
Well, I could.
Why don't you pay? I mean, it should be six figures. You don't put your beak in there, Russ. You don't do that.
Well, I think that there could be that kind of an incident somewhere else where it's not in the expensive seats. It might be closer to the cheap seats, and some goof might want to be try to be on TV as well. But
he should be in the luxury box. That's where he should be, the owner's box, Russ. You're going to get that close to the action, and you want to mix it up with a 7-footer. You should be in the box.
Yeah, well, he wanted to be seen, so he got seen. But I'm sure he would not have pulled that same stuff off with his own player. He would have given him the ball, and it would have been over.
So what do you think, cashier's check, or what are you going to send them over there? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. As promised, we're going to talk about the Bears. I want you to hear from Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator for the Bears, and also a few nuggets about the Bears that you should consider as we get closer and closer to the season. It's Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at The Catman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shout or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Busy in the 8 o'clock hour, as always. Shout or No Shot, we got Around the NFL. Courtney Cronin on the Bears at 8:35. Speaking of the Bears, it's so funny. We're talking about the Bears. I'm looking over my right shoulder in our old National Bank studios. What are they talking about? The Bears. And they're going to talk about exactly what I'm going to talk about, and that's Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. How big a leap can Justin Fields make in 2023? It's happening right now on the Get Up, and I'm talking to you about it right now. Luke Getsy was asked, hey, Justin Fields when you take a look at the numbers, let's take a look. Yeah, he was the least productive passer of all the passers last season. Are you confident that he can improve? Luke Getsy says,
the yards that he ran for, a third of those came off of pass plays that were scrambles that he decided to run, which is an element that, you know, we're fortunate to have with him in that position. So, and then it goes to everything, right? Getting the team around him better and us all being together for another year and the continuity that we have and the communication that he and I have, you know, where we were to kind of at the beginning of the season to the end of the season, I think is a lot better. And so we're hoping to build off of all that stuff. I think anytime you can be together with somebody and keep that consistency, there's going to be growth. And he has a lot more growth ahead of him. And we're excited to tap into that.
Is this amazing that there's so much conjecture and questions and topics and conversation about the Bears quarterback after a 3-14 season? It just shows you that around the league, not just me, just not you as a Bears fan, but just around the league, people are wondering, okay, the Bears are starting to make some noise here. They're going in the right direction. So what does this mean for the quarterback? I find it fascinating that you're not getting this in a lot of different markets with young quarterbacks. Like, there's no Trevor Lawrence question this morning on the Get Up. There's no questions about some other young quarterbacks coming in the league. Everyone is just very interested in finding out what Justin Fields is going to be for the next level with weapons, with DJ Moore and others on this football team. And I just think that's great. Think about this. So you're getting better on the offensive line by just having an infusion of youth and Darnell Wright being there. Again, 3-14 last year, the Bears end up with an offensive tackle in Darnell Wright. They get a wide receiver in DJ Moore. and also pick up other draft picks to try to help this team to go in the right direction. But as Mark Potash wrote in the Sun-Times, I went to suntimes.com, he had 10 or 11 things that really stood out to me about that piece. But I just want to just narrow it down for brevity. I just want to narrow it down just to a few things that stood out to me. So I've said many times on the show with Cap, I said, you know, it's okay for a Bears fan this past season to be optimistic. Like before the season, people were calling us and saying, hey, guys, I really think that this is a 7 or 8 win ball club. This is a 9 or 10 win ball club. And I think that the reason why that some fans were calling us and was very optimistic last season is because of the schedule. The schedule is the great unknown, because you just never know season to season what you're going to see, especially the teams that are supposed to be in the middle to the bottom. Like, you know the good teams when you see them. When you see Philly, when you see Kansas City, when you see the upper echelon of the NFL, you know a good team when you see them. But it's the middle to the bottom that's always murky. So as Potash wrote in the Sun-Times, had the Bears won 4 of the games that they lost by 5 points or less in 2022 versus the Commanders, that's a game that the Bears should have won against Washington, against the Dolphins, in which they lost 35-32, against the Lions, in which the Bears lost 31-30, against the Falcons, in which they lost 27-24. The Bears would have finished 7-10 and would have had the 13th overall pick in the draft. So those coin flip games that I look at, and there were coin flip games when the schedule came out, I said, the Bears could beat the Commanders. 50-50 on the Dolphins. They should beat the Lions. They should beat the Falcons. That's not what happened. They lost all 4 of those games. And so instead of a 7-10 team, which was my prediction last year, they end up winning 3 games. So instead of having the number 13 overall pick, they get the number 1 pick. They flip it, and now DJ Moore and others are on this team. And that's a good thing for this Bears team, an infusion of youth, 1, and 2, having a shorthanded wide receiver in DJ Moore. So I thought that was an interesting perspective from Potash, that if the Bears would have won those games and still would have been under 500, the Bears would have been picking 13. And they would have found someone quality at 13, but not as quality as flipping that pick, making that trade with Carolina, trading that number 1 pick to get DJ Moore and draft picks and future picks. That actually is going to work out well, I think, for the Bears. Also in this piece, I got to hit you with the truth, Bears fans. And we've already got the sprinkling of calls since the draft coming in. A couple people saying, I look at this Bears team now because of what they did in the draft. I see 9 or 10 wins. Hang on a second. Just understand where the Bears have to dig themselves out of. The Bears averaged 5.6 plays per drive last season. That's 28th in the National Football League. This offense needs to hit on as many singles and doubles as much as they need to hit on home runs. And so they got to be able to do both, I think, this season for them to be able to get to the plateau they want to as far as wins are concerned. I don't see 9 or 10 wins. Absolutely not, because it's incremental success. You go from 3 wins to the Super Bowl? No. No. What I see is if a Bears team averaged 5.6 plays per drive last season, which is 28th in the NFL, you got some work to do offensively. So that's another thing. The other thing is that the free agency and the draft. You know how much I love Roquan Smith. As a Georgia fan, watching Roquan Smith, I thought, hey, this guy could be a cornerstone for the franchise for a decade. You didn't have to worry about Roquan Smith. He was going to do the job. I like Roquan Smith a lot as a linebacker on this football team. But think about how that was flipped, as Potsy writes. He says, free agency and the draft have put Roquan Smith in that trade more specific relief. In effect, the Bears traded Smith for linebacker Tremaine Edmonds and defensive tackle Javon Dexter, the second-round pick that was acquired by the Ravens. The Bears also saved $2 million a year. The difference between Edmonds and his 4-year $72 million contract and the 5-year $100 million contract that Smith signed with the Ravens. Now, again, I would have paid through the nose for Roquan Smith, but again, apparently he didn't fit into the defense that Eberflus liked. All I know is that as much as I love Roquan Smith, I like the idea that you have a youngster in Dexter that you can mold and shape, and then Tremaine Edmonds, who's been there and done that. One other thing I want to point out as far as the defense is concerned is Nicholas Morrow. So it's another quote-unquote trade worth watching is Nicholas Morrow for T.J. Edwards. Morrow led the Bears with 116 tackles last season. He signed a 1-year $1.55 million contract with the Eagles. Just, a 1-year contract. Edwards led the Eagles with 159 tackles. He signed a three-year, $19.5 million contract with the Bears. That's an upgrade to me. Nicholas Morrow or T.J. Edwards signing a three-year deal, almost $20 million. So, again, even though Morrow led the team with tackles, you come from a team like the Eagles to the Bears, that should be a win. It's going to be an adjustment for sure for Edwards, being on an excellent defense for the Eagles, but now he's with the Bears. I see that as a real upside for the Bears, having that veteran presence on the team. Tremaine Edwards and T.J. Edwards on the team, I think, can only help this defense. It was a putrid defense last year. You watch those games, it was hard to watch. There's no doubt. And one other thing he talks about is just having the musical chairs on the offensive line. Braxton Jones will stay at left tackle. Nate Davis, the free agent, will be at right guard. Tevin Jenkins will move from right guard to left guard. And then from there, Cody Whitehair and Lucas Patrick will compete for the starting center job. Who knows what's going on with Doug Kramer. But the number one thing is that rookie Darnell Wright is presumed to be the starter at right tackle. All I know is that what Potsy wrote, and that's just a few things that he wrote, that sounds very optimistic when it comes to the Bears, because you are moving toward the right direction. You're spending money. You're getting some veterans on the defense. You're getting veterans on the offensive line, along with a kid that should be great for the Bears at Darnell Wright at right tackle. Again, I know that the P word sounds harsh, especially in our city, but the P word does matter. Patience. When it comes to trying to figure out where the Bears are going from three wins to dot, 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 you got to look at patience, because it's not going to happen for the Bears overnight, winning a Super Bowl after having just three wins the previous season. We have got Shot or No Shot right around the corner. That's in 2 minutes on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.